chapter 6 to start out with. We're going to be in this series probably this Wednesday, definitely Sunday morning, and maybe Sunday night. Maybe Sunday night. If God doesn't change that. If you've been here the last two Sunday mornings, God has absolutely changed the message, so that'll be up to God, but hopefully we'll be on this. This is about finding your calling. This is about finding your calling through Joseph's ministry. Joseph, the husband, or the would-be husband of Mary, the stepdad to Jesus. We're using his walk in ministry to kind of spurn and expose and be a commentary to the scriptures that we're using to get you to a place where you'll want to serve, where you'll want to find your calling, your gift, and your ability to lean in and say, God, I want to be a part of this church. I want to be a part of the ministry here, and I want you to expose my gift because I want to do something for you. And I think I said this Sunday night. I want to say it again. Find yourself. Get alone somewhere. Spend some quiet time with God. Shut everything down. Ask. Now, you can pray about everything you want to pray about, but at the end of that prayer, I want you to start saying, God, I'm going to be quiet for a little while. Will you establish the calling in my life? If you really want to know where I got this from, is when we had the opportunity to go down to Alabama for a missionary trip, we ran into a man who started Blue Jean Church. What was, Judge, what was his last name? Do you remember? It doesn't matter. Anyway, we just called him the Judge. He's a really good guy. If you don't know anything about Selma, Alabama, Selma, Alabama is like 99% black. The people are African American. He is a white judge in a predominantly black community. He's a pastor in a predominantly black community. But their church is totally opposite of everything. They are so involved, so wrapped. They do so many things in the community. He has a curriculum for high school, middle school. He went and got all these kids out of more or less prison, which they weren't in prison yet, but they were locked in facilities, and job trained them, gave them educations. He was building houses. He was planting gardens, a lot of different stuff in Selma, Alabama. And the reason I say that is that he started, he went down by the river and he started praying. He said he got to a place where he just said, he got centered with God and said, God, give me a burden for what you want me to do. And that's where he said it all started from. So, and I've done that a couple of times in my ministry when I really want to know what God wants to do with me next. Okay, now this tonight is worth it, and I titled this message a week ago. I knew this is where we were going to preach this message, and man, this couldn't have came on a better day for me. I don't know if you know anything, but this title to this message, is it worth it? Is it worth it for you to get in the ministry? Is it worth it? Because I'm going to be honest with you. If we be honest, ministry can cost you. It can cost you. I mean, you're going to get involved in ministry. It's very dangerous. It's when you're helping drowning people and hurting people, a lot of times they will drown you. Amen. If you help dying people, sometimes they don't even know they're wanting to get help. If you're helping somebody get out of addiction, you don't know you could take a couple of beatings early in getting somebody out of drug addiction. So I want you to know it is worth it, but we're going to establish that through the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And like I said, we're going to jump back over to Matthew 1 in a minute. But these are the verses I'm going to use tonight to help you, encourage you. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up. Are y'all seeing that right there? This is very important, guys. Very important stuff right here. Well, I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to push you guys. I'm trying to get you excited to go into some kind of ministry here, some kind of ministry that God wants you to. And listen, guys, use this church as an umbrella. You don't have to get everybody on board. If God places something on your heart to do, and at first you can't seem to get, go and do it. Just do it. Do the thing yourself. And then when you get a little bit of success or traction, God will jump in there with you and add the right people one way or the other, right? But I want you to see this. Lay up your treasures. Lay up lay not up. There we go. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Ain't that against everything we go through in our flesh? Is that not? Don't everybody say, man, we got to save, we got to build, we got to reinforce, we got to put under, we got to protect. And our human nature is what? Protect ourselves, lay up treasures, make the best life you can possibly lay. God starts out on this when He's calling people into ministry and to serve Him with their whole heart. Lay up not treasures for yourself upon the earth where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break in and steal. Goodness gracious. He's saying, don't get so tied up in this world, thinking about the world, trying to save yourself. Focus on me who can save your soul, and I can take care of you as long as you are on the earth. I know God gives you good common sense. I can feel some of it right here. You don't know what you've got to plan, got to do. Listen, God made you, designed you. You do you. That's great. But at one point or another, when God pushes you out to do something for Him, you're going to have to step out by faith. And you ain't going to have all the answers. You ain't going to have all the boxes checked. And you ain't going to know if everything's going to work out the way it's going to work out. But can I tell you this? If God is faithful and He can take care of the moon and the stars and the sun and this, everything else that's going on, He can take care of us. Amen? He can take care of us. So make sure you're not doing that. To make sure you're not laying up treasures on the face of this planet that, guess what? I love that first part where they rust and wither away. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Can we do that just for a minute? I don't want to preach all this. But have you ever seen something you thought was cool or awesome 10 or 20 years later? And all of a sudden you're sitting there going, man, that's garbage. That thing, man, remember when you first bought it, brought it into your house, brought it to your driveway, whatever it was, you thought, man, everybody's going to be wow when they see that. Now you look at it and you go, man, I don't know if anybody would take it for a dollar. I don't know if anybody would come to my house and take it if I gave it to them. If it's a piano, they won't. I guarantee you that. Or an old church pew. Sorry, I better stop right there, get in trouble. But I want you to get that right there, lay up, because guess what? These things in this earth will rotten away. Where we live at today, where we live in our society today, the thing that was awesome last year kind of rusts and goes away real quick too, don't it? Have you felt that yet? Something that's brand new, you get a hold of it, man, you're proud of it. Next thing you know, they come out with a new model, come out with a new thing, and you're sitting there going, man, mine's flat garbage. Right? That's what God's talking about here, but He's also talking about do not lay up. He goes, everything in heaven. Let's go to that next verse. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven. Where? In heaven? Wouldn't it be awesome? I can't help myself to think right here. Wouldn't it be awesome to be like the rich man and Lazarus? Every single day that Lazarus laid outside the rich man's gate, that rich man fared sumptuously every day. But when they died and went into eternity, That man Lazarus was richer than that rich man ever was rich. He was rich in relationship. He was rich in heaven. And he was sitting there waiting for the day that his life ended. He said he laid out there. Somebody brought him out there every day. The dogs licked his sores every day. And then he begged for food. Was a beggar every day until eternity. And guess what? He went up there where all of his treasures laid. Our greatest treasure's in Jesus. We know that. But praise God, when we get to heaven, praise God, it's going to be Jesus and everything we inherit in Him. Amen? Ain't that good? Oh, man, have y'all seen some good stuff on the face of this planet? Have you ever drove off down into Dunlap? I'm just going to be, that's the best one I know close to here. Saudi's aight. It's aight, right? It's okay. You drive off on Dunlap side on the right day, that's as pretty as places there is on the planet. You ever rode over and something's just different? You're just, wow. That's something. When we get to heaven, there's no sin. There's no corruption. There's no fallen man. Praise God. That'll make that, everything we see there is going to be amazing. Amen? Everything we see there. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, but where thieves do not break through nor steal. Everything you have in heaven for eternity will remain. Good God. I could leave right now and I'll be all right. Everything I have in Christ Jesus is secured. I am sealed. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. If for some weird reason you draw your last breath as a believer, you are going to open your eyes into eternity and you're going to be sitting there going, "My God, I was fearful of death, but look what I have." Man, there's people that we love dearly who passed out of this life and went into the next life as a believer. Praise God, they wouldn't come back here for you or nobody. All they're doing is sitting in heaven, "Wait till you come here. Wait till you see this." Amen? Their spiritual being is with Christ Jesus, and He is reassuring them. I got into studying that this week and a little praying about that. You know what? Everything God does is perfect. Sometimes we look and think, "Man, why did this happen? Why did it go down there? Why'd they die here? Why'd they die this way?" God's like, "Man, I am a perfect God. I am working everything out. I will let somebody pass away because I am saving people you don't even have a clue about. I'm preparing, working, developing." You know what? There's nurses and doctors and people that God's working on. You don't even have a clue what God's doing. There are times when I think, "Man, God, you should be only concerned with me and what's going on with me." And God's like, "You're crazy. I'm working on everybody. Everybody." That is so, man, I love that. I'm so glad of that. I'm glad because when we get to heaven, the people that we love the most, they'll be sitting there going, "Man, it was a perfect day. Because so-and-so got saved and so-and-so got there." It was a ripple effect. Man, I can't go into that. That's a good study. Man, it was good to look at it. But let's move on. "For where your treasures," this is the important part, "for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Let me tell you this. You might want to write this down. We can be real cool in here on a Wednesday. But I'm going to tell you this. If we can act like we're all good and everything. But I want you to get this right here. Wherever your real treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. That's fact. If you love this world and the things of this world, and your heart is going to be towards that, and you're always going to be concerned about it, you're going to be consumed with it. Praise God, if your heart is in heaven, you will do everything God wants you to do, waiting and desiring to see Him. Your whole life will go by going, "God, am I pleasing to you? God, am I doing what you would have me to do? God, forgive me where I fall short. Forgive me where I sin. But God, please keep using me until the day you're ready for me to come." Man, my heart, listen to this. I'm being honest with you. I've got no death wish. I don't want to go to heaven on the next load. I do want to go, but not on the next load. But praise God, if I do, I am ready. I am good. I am sealed, ready, and ready to go. But praise God, I'm telling you right now, there's something on the inside. When you got saved, praise God, did you hear that? Have you ever heard that song, "Beulah Land"? You ever heard it? Somebody sing it real good? We need somebody to sing it real good. You know you can't sing "Beulah Land"? The Holy Spirit sings that. Do you know you can't sing it? Because you ain't ever been there. But there's one part of Godhead that's been there. I'm about to preach myself happy right here. Have you ever been gone from home for a long time and came back? You start noticing the trees are different. Roads are different. Next thing you know, you start cutting into them places and you're like, "Well, we're about to be home." Amen? And it don't matter where you've been. Well, I don't matter how good it was, what the food was like, what the people was like. Praise God, ain't nothing like home. Ain't nothing like laying the bags down, getting in your own bed. Amen? Ain't nothing better. Back in the day, I preached myself. Back in the day, I loved it when mama had to come back there in the back of the car, get you and pick you up, or daddy, and they walk in the house, lay you in the bed. God! Just look around and go, "Whoo, I'm home." You been there? That's what it's going to be. God's going to carry us right in there. That Holy Spirit be like, "Beulah Land, son, Beulah Land. It's what I've been long. Ever since I jumped in you, that's where I've been taking you." Amen? Gave you the grace to live, the grace to do what you're called to do. But right there at the end, I was trying to pull you on home. Amen? That's when you see somebody die and you say, "Man, where'd they get the strength?" Because the Holy Spirit kicks in and says, "I give you grace to die too." Praise God. You'll know when it's your time to die. You'll be saying stuff you can't even believe you're saying. Whew, God, man, I wasn't even going to preach any of that. That's just good. Hey, man, that's one of them things you'll wrap up, take home when you eat it later. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Fall so much in love with Jesus, the whole world could fall apart, and you still with Him. Amen? Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, I've been preaching like I'm preaching that revival right there. That's good. But let's get into this, let's call him Joseph. Let's talk about Joseph right here. You know what I'm going to do on Sunday morning, kind of what I want to try to do, is I want to preach about the different kinds of ministries. Do you know every husband and every wife, maybe even brother and sister, people like that, we all got different callings. Have you ever noticed there'll be usually one person in a marriage that's very outspoken and outgoing and the other person's kind of withdrawn? You ever meet two people that are the same? That always blows my mind. Kyle and Allison, that's two people that kind of blow my mind because they're both like almost the same. I'm like, how do y'all do it? Hey, man. But I want y'all to get this. You know, God usually teams you up. You kind of got a different. Somebody's real loud. Like Melissa's real loud and outgoing, and I'm real quiet and reserved. You know how that is. Like I'm fearful of stages and a lot of groups of people. And she loves it. She wants to get up in front of everybody and just blow it out. That's how we are, right? Yeah, y'all seem like that ain't the truth, but it is. I'm gonna preach that on Sunday, how God can use both of those people to bring forth Jesus perfectly. Amen? Have you ever felt like you're the big one and they're the little one, or you're the little one and they're the big one? Amen? Ain't it good how God says, I need them both. I need the quiet one and the loud one. I need the one that does, it seems like got the A position, and I got the one that seems like they have the Z position, but I'm using them both for my glory. Amen? It takes them both to carry it. Y'all got that? I wanted y'all to get that. Let's get into what tonight is. Kevin, you trying to preach it all tonight? I know. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when his mother was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her public example, that means stone her to death right in the middle of the city or right outside the city, was minded to put her away privately. Ain't Joseph good? Ain't Joseph a good man? Man, I've got this going on sometimes. I know what I want to do. But praise God, I know what God's going to have me do. Or at least I want to do. I want to do God, what God wants me to do. Y'all understand right there? I guarantee you, when Joseph heard, it's a little bit different than our engagement. It's more of they're practically already married. She says, I'm 3 months pregnant with the Holy Spirit. My son's going to be God. And he's sitting there going, because he hadn't got the word yet. He didn't get the message. The angel didn't stop by his house and then go by Mary's house. Matter of fact, it didn't go by Mary's house. Matter of fact, it didn't make a beeline over to his house right after. Nobody told him. God didn't give him anything. But guess what? He got the news as standing on the hoof. Amen? Little baby bump. Here I am. Right? And I'm sitting there thinking, is it worth it then? When you're hurt, mad, frustrated, don't have a clue, are you even able to do this? Can you even get your mind right? Right? First thing was, you are establishing Jesus. Make a note right here, please. You are establishing Jesus to people who don't recognize Jesus as Lord. When God calls you into ministry, when He calls you into the thing that you're going to be doing here at this church, you might be already doing it, or when you get, you say, I'm in, right? Or God drops something in your spirit, I'm going to do it. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to say, man, why does God want me to do that? Because what He's wanting you to do is He's wanting to carry you to carry Jesus to people and establish Him when nobody really knows Him. They might think they know Him. They might have some kind of idea if they know Him. But when He was calling Joseph, nobody even knew who Jesus was. So Joseph's bringing Jesus to a people who don't even know what that is. Amen? If we do that right in this ministry, we're going to do that too. It's not easy. Amen? So when you're called into ministry, you know what you're doing? You're going to be carrying to Jesus. And you know what? That's not an easy thing. That's not an easy thing for anybody to do. Your flesh will fight against it, but man, it'll be worth it if you do it. I wrote this down. Let's go a little bit further in the verses. Where was we? 18. Go 19, 20. But while he thought, this is good. Everybody look at this right here. Y'all good? Are y'all having a good time in this? God need this kind of stuff. Amen? But while he thought on these things, good Lord, his first reaction, put her away privately because I wanted to stone her to death. But then he thought, then he went home and he thought on it. Ed, I picture this at about dark time. He's trying to go to sleep. You ever try to go to sleep when you got a lot on your mind? Especially heavy stuff like, my wife's pregnant before I married her, but, well, I don't know. She's telling me all kinds of God stuff, and this is crazy. He knows what he already made a decision verbally. He's trying to go home and reconcile that in his mind. Charlie, he's trying to go there. He's sitting at home, and he's tossing and turning all night. Did I do the right thing? Should I even have her? I don't know. But there's something crazy. Can I preach right here? I know Mary. I know her. This is so out of character. This is crazy, God. Ain't that good? But while he thought on that, the things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He didn't even show up. He came to him in a dream. I don't know. Man, I'm telling you right now, Joseph is one of the most awesome men in the whole Bible. He never speaks. He never says anything. It's in there. Never says a word. Nothing wrote. No letters of Jesus. He said. Angel comes to him in a dream. He don't get a verbal conference. He don't get a wake up. We're about to do this. He gets a dream. Praise God. Mary got a visitation. This is stepdad stuff. This is going to be a hard job. This is going to be straight up all faith. Everybody's going to hate you. Everybody will despise you. They live in little old Nazareth. They walking down the street, everybody going to look at them. Y'all don't believe me. Okay, 33 years later, every time Jesus went back to Nazareth, they'd say, ain't that the carpenter's boy? You know, when they say that, you know what they're saying, right? He slept with her. That's the only reason he married her. Golly, bum, y'all got to stay right there. While he thought on it, the Lord appeared, and the angel appeared unto him in the dream, and Joseph, the son of David, fear not, take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean, Charlie? That's good when we read it. We know what it is because we've partaken of it. We've been in church a long time. We know, but praise God, let somebody shout that to you in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. She is a child of the Holy Ghost. Praise God, hallelujah. Shout, run around the room. What are we talking about? Amen. God, he don't have to bring you all the way up to level. He ain't got to bring you all the way up to full understanding. You just got to buy in. Okay, it's good, God. Y'all, man, don't the Bible come to life right there? And she shall bring forth a son. Watch this right here, Ed. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What did he just say right there? Do you understand what he just said? Did he say, if you get on board, if nobody killed, if that, if, what did he say? She's going to. It's going to happen. Look. Just do it. Watch. Look at that last part of the verse. He shall save his people. I'm one of them people. You're one of them people. His people from their sin. Good God. You know what he just told him? You're going to get a part of the plan. This thing that she has is a savior. You need him too. The plan's already in action. Let me tell you this about this. The plan here is already in action. All you got to do is submit and say, all right, God, I'm in. I'm in it. I'm on it. Amen. Whatever we're going to do to reach people for Jesus, I'm in. Amen. It ain't about me anymore. It's about them. If you're saved, born again in here, it's not about you anymore. It's about them. Praise God. We're going to have a good time. We're going to eat every once in a while. We're going to worship together. We're going to get a good word. We're going to enjoy and fellowship with each other. But one of our main goals is going to be, let's reach them for Jesus until our time runs up or runs out. I love that right there. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord of the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did. Golly, underline that verse 24. That word right there, D-I-D, he did. Whoo, my God. We talk a good game, but we hardly ever do. He got up and said, you know what? Got the word from heaven, don't totally understand it, but it's got to be better than my plan, did it. Good gracious. I wish we'd get a church mentality right there. We ain't going to talk about nothing anymore. We're going to just do stuff. We're going to do it. Amen? No, every devil in hell. I have been here almost 7 years. I have never been in more trouble than we decided that we're going to reach this world and this community with Jesus. Man, we're going to have everybody and their brother going. They'll try to get us in a headlock and turn us around in circles. We got to do everything in our ability to keep on doing what? Put that next foot in front of the other one and go, you know what? We're going to keep on. Do you think, can I stop right here? Can y'all get this? Do y'all think this was easy for Joseph? Do you think getting up out of that dream was like, I'm good? Do you understand the mental and the physical things that are about to take place in this man's life? He's about to walk 90 miles. Whew. While he's walking 90 miles, he's got to work it out in his mind that this child in her is God. Whew. The mental and physical parts of ministry are exhausting. I look at it. Mary ain't getting to Bethlehem without Joseph. Jesus ain't being birthed in Bethlehem without a man named Joseph. And he's walking while she's sitting and while he's being ready to come out right before he's ready to be born. And he's got to go up there and he's got to do everything in his power for something he don't even know fully what's being birthed yet. Good God. That's ministry, guys. We know we got a burden. We know we got a calling. We know we got a gospel, but we don't know the outcome. We don't know all the outcomes of what's going to happen. Joseph did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Good Lord. Married her. God, I want to say that over and over now. I don't know what I got this thing going on with hoofs. But on the hoof, standing there, betting little old Nazareth, will you take her to be your lawful wife? Yes, I do. Pregnant she can be. You know, I don't want to preach about Mary. I don't. I'm really trying to focus on Joseph. But you know, she's only like 15, 16 years old at the oldest. Do you know what keeps her going? You know what keeps her saying, that doesn't matter if Joseph got on board or not. Don't matter if my parents are joined. Don't matter if everybody in Nazareth is against me. No matter if the whole world's against me. Do you know why she can stand there and do what she's doing? Do y'all anybody want to take a shot at that and why she can do that? Huh? God, you know why? Because she ain't never been with a man. She got Jesus on the inside, and she knows. Nobody has to tell her. She knows. I ain't never been with nobody. There's a baby growing in here. It's kicking. It's moving. It's eating. It's doing the whole thing. Praise God, I ain't. I don't care what you. Listen, when you really get saved and born again in Jesus Christ, the whole world can sit there and call you whatever they want to call you, say whatever they want to say. I know. He got on board. People ask me, how do you know you got saved? God, you better know. Because I don't get to do any things that I want to do anymore. It's God. Ooh, it's just, verse 25. This is the best, and I'll probably end right here. Well, no, I got one more thought. Sorry. Somebody's like, And they knew her not. Listen, verse 25. And knew her not till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. You know what he didn't do? He didn't touch God's stuff. He waited. That's a big deal. He didn't. He's like, you know what? That's God. I won't touch it. I'm married to her, but I'll wait. Whew, that's good. Y'all good at that? Turn John chapter 14, 1. John 14, 1. When we get to heaven, there's a dispute on this right here, but when we get to heaven. Joseph, I don't know what happens to Joseph, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Joseph disappears right after Jesus is around 12, after they lose him in the temple at Jerusalem. When he's about 12, that's the last we hear of Joseph. He disappears. He goes silent in the scriptures. So you almost want to say he either passes away because he's not present at the cross, or it's so insignificant. It's a silent, right? So where the Bible's silent, we go silent. So when we're looking at that right there, you got to say to him, you know what he did? when his job was done, he was done. And he's okay with that. Praise God. When you're done with God, when God's done with you and he spent you the way he wants to spend you, you're all right with that. Amen? When you get to heaven, you'll be all right. If God, let me go ahead and go one more over with that. Was James, the brother of John. Do you know in the New Testament book of Acts, he's I think it's Acts chapter 12. Do you know that he's beheaded? this is James, the brother. He was in the inner circle. He got to pray with Jesus. He was when they were moved, and there was three or four on it, and they got a little closer, and he'd pray. He was there. The very first part of the starting of the New Testament, he gets decapitated, right? Whew. Let me tell you something. When he entered into heaven, praise God, he didn't say, man, why didn't I get a longer run in ministry? You know, he said, man, I was first one out. Praise God. It was just like the other day I seen Jesus, now I see him again. Man, just y'all think about that. So John 14:1, I want to read this to you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. It is worth it. It is worth it. One, to be saved, and one, to serve Jesus. It is worth it. No matter what you have to go through, emotionally, physically, spiritually, when you walk into the portals of glory, Jesus has prepared a place for you. God says Jesus Christ is the finish line. Get your eyes on the prize of the finish line and finish well for Jesus. It will be worth it. Let's all stand.